CJLO 1690 AM. I got caught up in what I was doing. I apologize for making you have to listen to even 1 second, a millisecond of silence. It's very unprofessional of me. I am deeply sorry, deeply saddened by my actions. I apologize. I now have a, I don't know if you noticed, but I now have a windscreen on this mic. I put it on just for you so that I can say peas and you don't have to hear it be so up in your face. I don't know what's wrong with me today. Like, I definitely have something wrong in my brain hole. It's definitely doing bad, definitely not going well. For sure, 110,000%. Anyway, we're an hour two of the show. You just heard some Danko Jones with Electric Sounds, the title track off of their latest record, which comes out this coming Friday. Not last Friday, this coming Friday. I'm looking into the future. And some Grimelda before that with Standy Bachman off of their nominated record, their Western Canada Music Award nominated record. There we go. Saying words. Very good. Now let's get some Crobot here, right? Like, we've had Crobot. They came here to Montreal on July 20th. You should have seen the show. It was very good. Very cool. They're good dudes. And they came in here to do a session and an interview. So, what I'm going to do now, I'm going to air the interview, and then we'll play some commercials, and then we'll get into this session. I'm going to just play the full session all the way through, all the fun, like, you know, bits and bobs in between that they do for the song, so you get to act like, you know, it's a full, real, session-y thing. So first, let's do this interview. I should tell you that all the members of the band were in the actual studio to do this interview. They were all sitting there in front of me, but basically the only two people talking here are Bishop, the guitarist for the band, and Brandon, the lead singer, who has got a set of pipes on him. Ridiculous. And, you know, Bishop is apparently the main songwriter for most of these songs, and they are a catchy, I believe AF is the term. That's short for As Fun Day, which I believe is something like a sundae, like an ice cream sundae, but with fun for it. I'm pretty sure that's what that means. That's what I was told it means, so if it isn't, please correct me. And so that I can go to whoever told me that and act angry and indignant that they told me such a blatant mistruth. So here we go. Here's some Crobot. I had to say that because you'll notice that I am so out of fashion, out of practice with my interviews that I didn't even get them to intro themselves like I normally do. So oopsie poopsie. I do talk about to give you an idea of who is who, though, I do start talking about how I found one of their bands that they were in, and that is Brandon, the lead singer's band. So Brandon will basically be the first person to talk at length, and then Bishop is the second person. So just to give you an idea of what's going on here, since you can't see it with your eye holes and have to listen with your ear holes. So here is this interview with Crobot. Keep it locked. This is Great A Explosives, CJLO, 1690 AM, and then we'll get into the session. But enjoy this interview first. Yes. Hey, everybody. It's Andrew. I am here with some fine Pennsylvania / Austin based / wherever they're going to be from at this point, boys in Crobot. You know, normally when I do this, I usually go through and I find out all like a bunch of bands that people have been in, but I really only was able to find the groundbreaking ceremony. So apologies that I couldn't find more from all of you to list them off in a long list.
Who's the groundbreaking ceremony?
That was my pop punk band.
I never even heard of
that. The first band I ever toured with, actually.
Wow.
Yeah. 18 years old. You know,
just... I read some of the stories from that, which is like, sounds both amazing and like just the best rock stories that you could ever get from something.
Yeah, that was the instance when I knew that it didn't matter about anything else. I just wanted to tour because we were getting baths in creeks. We traveled all the way from Pennsylvania to Marietta, Georgia, played a place called Swayze's, and we made $8. And I was having the time of my life.
$8 between what, like four people?
So yeah, exactly. $2 a person. We made $8 that night, and I loved it. So here we are.
Making $12 a show.
Still getting baths and creeks. Still loving it.
Anywho, I'm joined here by Crobot, who just laid down an amazing acoustic session. Consummate professionals that they are. They are here to do all the things that the whole band participated in an acoustic session. Not just a guitarist and a lead singer. Mm-hmm. No. Nope. It's a whole band type of thing.
We make them work for that $12, you know?
I saw a joint interview / live thing that you guys did for Jersey where you did like an acoustic performance with basically all of you. I'm like, oh, I wonder if they'll do that. And sure enough, that's kind of what happened today for it.
Yeah, sometimes like we're like riff rock, so I need all the help that I can get when I'm playing single note riffs on acoustic. It's like, please help me out, guys.
Well, let me start off this interview. I always like to start off my interviews the same way because I love structure. It's good for people to have structure. So what's one question you don't want to be asked or you're tired of answering? If I have it on this list, I'll strike it.
Where the band name came from.
Okay.
But that's an obvious one,
very
right?
popular
you
one.
Knew
yes,
that one.
Exactly.
Yeah, if you really care that much, just Google it. It's in every interview we ever did for the first 5 years.
It's my opinion that basically you get to ask that question one time. Like the first person interviewing a band can ask that question, and then after that, it's done. No one else can ask
when you're brand new. We're not shiny new anymore. We've got some tarnish on us, you know?
At this point.
Yeah.
Got some not rust, because that would be not
funk.
Going on. Road funk? Yeah,
road funk. It's like, what's it, brass that turns green? No, that's a... copper, right? Yeah, we are green copper.
Oxidized and ready for mold.
Well, I'm kind of confused as to how you guys are kind of setting this up, because what it seems like is you guys started in Pennsylvania and then part of you split off to go to Austin, and now you're kind of doing it from both places. Am I understanding this kind of dynamic correctly?
Yeah, me and Brandon started it in 2011, and I lived in Pennsylvania. That's where Brandon's from. And over the years, we would move or play Austin and have some friends there. So I ended up moving there, and then we joined up with Dan, who was from Madison, Wisconsin. Or right around Madison. Is that right, Dan? Yes. Okay. And he was in Austin, and now Pat is in and around Austin, which is Temple, right?
Yes, sir.
Yes. See?
So you're basically like an Austin band sort of at this
point. Yeah, pretty much. I mean, Brandon, my wife's from Pennsylvania where Brandon's from, so we're back and forth. But,
okay. All right. Yeah. Because I was going to say, like, it's very unusual for a band that comes from, like, the middle of Pennsylvania to get... obviously, there's some bands that have broken through, like August Burns Red, Texas in July, Live from the 90s. But it's unusual for something that's from, like, the middle of the state to get out there, especially on, like, what was at the time a large label like Windup. So I was interested kind of how that process went for you guys. How did that come about?
So we actually had a fan that... posted our video.
Okay.
At Play the Grammys. Was that what it was?
Yeah. Yeah. It was like a contest to enter to win the Grammys.
Oh, really?
We had no idea that it even existed.
Yeah, because those contests were crap, right? It was all
It's like every battle of the band we've ever played.
Here's $200 for winning this
right,
thing.
Right. Promote this thing for us. And so a lot of people did but yeah.
Yeah. And one of our fans put us up there, and the A&R, one of the A&Rs at the time for Windup, had one of his friends say, hey, we entered to win this Grammy contest to play at the Grammys. Can you check our video out? So he did. And then he got up from his computer, walked away, and he heard our song play, because our song was the next video that came up on the playlist. So he went back, checked out the video, watched our social media accounts for 2 weeks, and then sent us an email saying, you know, hey, this is Sean from Windup Records. I'm interested in having you guys come out and showcase in New York City. And yeah, here we are.
God, it sounds hearing that sounds like such an old school process at this point, because now there are so many bands that are just like, oh, you have like a million followers on TikTok? Here's a contract for you to have at this point.
It was sort of an old school way about going, and like, so they were waiting for us to come play New York for the longest time, and we just didn't have a show for a while. So when we finally did, they hit us up, and Melanie Milioto, she was a booking agent, and she came to the show, and we were playing with like an electronic band that didn't have drums or anything, and they're like, oh, you guys are too loud. you can't play. So they literally, we played two songs and then they kicked us off the stage. And all these people were there to see us and they're like, we saw all we needed to see. They're like, that Bishop guy, he's so hot and so sexy. I'll sign that guy no matter what. I mean, here we are.
Isn't that always the way? It's never the front people that are always.
No, it's always the lumpy guitar player.
it's weird. I'm going to ask a question that I don't think I've ever asked a band before. You guys just had a day off, which is weird because normally when bands come here, like, it's a full schedule that they're going from. Does a day off on the road invigorate you? Does it make you like rest up? Does it make you feel like just itchy to get back on stage? What is that kind of like?
I feel like my hands are down my pants a lot more on a day off.
Yeah.
It's like I'm just scratching my balls, just trying to figure out what on earth I'm supposed to do with life.
How do we make money, guys? What do we got to do?
Day off.
Yeah. What street corner are we going to today? Yeah. I mean, ideally, you know, you just sort of stay on it, but with a day off, yesterday we just went and got some food, had some drinks, and we listened to a bunch of old demos. We subjected Pat to listen to all our old demos that we're like, no, wait for this part, man. We're all like screaming.
It was one of the most rock and roll days off I think we've ever had, I'll be honest, because what we do is we pull up to a Planet Fitness parking lot and we just stay there. We live in our van, you know, no joke. So yesterday we pulled up pretty early and we're like, wow, we're here already. This is unusual. We actually get to enjoy the day off. And I remember at one point during our listening session, I just had to pee so bad and I ran in and peed. And as I'm coming out, I just hear the van from like Planet Fitness just rocking out to our music.
Our own music.
And then I get closer to the van and everybody's like this. It's just like something out of a Hesher movie.
Yeah, it was. We were jamming pretty hard.
That is kind of strange. To hear a band say, like, we listen to our own stuff while we're on the road. Well, it's like...
Yeah, well, we're writing for the next record right now. So we're listening back through old demos and being like, was there anything that is worth a re-listen? So we're trying to, like, maybe bring some of the older songs back, you know, because we've got, like, I'd say at least half the record of new stuff written. So, you know, we're seeing what songs we need. Do we need some slower songs? Do we need, you know, baby making music, you know, whatever it is.
I know you released Black Cat, like, I think this past Friday, right? Like, really recently. Is that something that's left over from the Feel This recordings? Or is this something that's new that you guys have written?
Yeah, it was a leftover from the Feel This sessions that we just wanted to release. There's a couple more songs that are sitting there that we recorded extra because we were super efficient when we were recording that record. So
it's like I was listening to how Rat Child was basically a bunch of stuff that was off of Mother Brain that you were like, you guys were like, oh, you know, we should put this out. We like these. If we let it go too far, then we're not going to release it. And like, also, you know, getting a bunch of big names to do things on it is pretty good. Mm-hmm. I mean, do you think that Rat Child would have even gotten seen the light of day the way it was if the pandemic hadn't come along and made it so that people could do guest things on these? Or
I don't think so. No, I think it was at a point in time where like we have to put something out. What's doable? And the label was down for doing that, so we just did those four songs. But yeah, if not, we would have probably just recorded and released the record sooner. If the pandemic wouldn't have happened, we would have just started working on Feel This.
How do you have so many famous friends that are doing things for this? Like, are you just like jovial? I mean, you seem jovial, but like that must be like all the way like throughout. If you can have all these guests come on and do all these things.
Yeah, it was pretty humbling and you know, awesome. I don't know if humbling is the right word, but it was awesome when like we would reach out to some of our favorite bands that we had toured with and they were down to write songs with us. And we did some with Tim Salt from Clutch, some with Clint from Seven Dust, JD from Black Label. We wrote a song with them and all these songs we still have and we may release. It's awesome, man. I don't know. I think it's just like, rock and roll, like we're a rock and roll band and there's not a lot of just old school rock bands as much anymore, so we have a bunch of old friends.
It's crazy to think from the outside perspective, though, because we don't really think of it that way. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. These are just all, they're friends. They're definitely idols, you know?
Yeah.
Like, we've looked up to these guys for a long time, but they've been coming to Crobot shows for years, too. Like, some of these guys, like Frank Bello and Rob Caggiano, those guys have been coming to see us for probably close to 10 years. Mm-hmm. So to finally get to experience what it's like to work with them was a great, you know, thing to happen for us. And, you know, that's why when it came to those songs just sitting there, we're like, well, I mean, this all brought us together, and it's kind of a full circle moment because we've been hanging out with these dudes for a while, and now we actually got to make music. So, you know, why not put it out there?
I think one of the times that you guys were here, you were touring with Anthrax, and I think this is now your first Volbeat. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Is this your first headlining thing in Montreal? I think it is, right?
Mm-hmm, like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Do you have anything special planned? Because I know that you guys are very theatrical, and I know that, you know, there was some, let's go with Badness in Austin, where a bunch of props and mm-hmm. equipment and things, like, let's go with disappeared from where it was. And do you have anything planned for this tour that you've been doing that's, like, kind of unique? Because I was surprised, having not seen you guys live. This will be the first time I get to see you live.
So we all got together and helped to rebuild the things that were stolen. And I don't want to give too much away, but we do a lot of Spinal Tap-esque things.
Right.
It's a good time. It's a good time, and it's weird. People are going to be like, that's weird. It's weird that happened. but they also are going to love it.
Do you think that that's something that's kind of lost with most bands today? Like, they just, like, most bands will come out, they'll do a show, and it'll just be like, you know, the normal stuff you would expect coming out, like jeans, t-shirt, all in black or whatever it might be, play songs, interact with crowd a bit, and that's it. But it feels like you guys are putting on an extra level of kind of like showmanship that I think most bands don't really engage with.
I think some people are just a little scared, you know, or take themselves too seriously. And we definitely do not do that. But yeah, I mean, if you think about it, like, if you go see a band that you don't really know all their songs and they bombard you with an hour and 15 minutes of music back to back to back, it is a lot for everyone. So you have to, like, find the peaks and valleys, and that's one thing we've tried to work on for our headline stuff.
Well, I'm excited to get to see it. Yeah. I guess I should ask you, you know, since you're here in Montreal, if you're planning on getting some poutine while you're here, you must, right?
Like, oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm lactose intolerant, so the search is even harder for me to find stuff that I can.
There are vegan ones that they.
So
they
how
have
did you
now.
Say
see,
that?
Poutine.
Yeah. Poutine.
Well, I mean, it depends on what you want to do. If you say poutine, people will be like, oh, yeah, I understand what you're talking
about.
Yeah,
but they're like, you're an amateur.
Well, all you have to do is say, oh, I'm sorry, I'm from the States. And they'll be like, oh, well, I'm sorry, sir. Like, you know, typical, you know, Francophone accent, the whole thing. They'll be very excited to take your money. That'll be what it's going to start.
Yeah, I love poutine.
Poutine.
Well, thank you guys for coming here to stop by and, you know, performing here. It was a pleasure to have you here.
It was a pleasure to be here.
I'm looking forward to seeing you tonight. And hopefully, you know, I know this tour you're going to be going. It's, what, a week left of the tour?
Like two weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm interested that you guys are going to be playing in Lititz, which is close to my hometown. So that's going to be like, I haven't encountered any band that's played in Mickey's Black Box yet, so... Maybe next time you come up, you can tell me all about that.
Yeah, we've never been there. It's close to where we started the band, and it's going to be a good show. A lot of hometown folks.
Yeah, I imagine that's going to be like a rip-roaring good time at that point.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not even the last show, so you have to hold back a little bit, which will be... Well, I guess you don't have to. I guess it depends. If it sounds like you're road warriors.
Yeah,
so I feel like
we're seasoned. We are, to bring it all back, we are... copper, green copper.
Well, thanks a lot for stopping by here, guys.
Thank you.
And before we tear this all down, can I get you to a